Oh, good morning. Here we are. Good day. Amen. Good worship. Good gathering. The Lord has called us. We showed up. We're still here. Yeah. Yeah. We're all here. We haven't lost anybody. I always tell Phyllis that, like, days when there are a lot of people missing, like, they're not sitting at home eating, drinking coffee, like, they, you know, yeah, and it's good, like, they're active and they're free to go, and it's good. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How interesting, Kevin takes off with using this word, ministry of reconciliation, which is exactly what I want to talk about today. And so, yeah. It was a little while ago, just recently, something clicked. You know, it's nice when you keep, I mean, this is the wonder of the joy. This is the neatest thing about walking in the Spirit, that and trusting in the Holy Spirit, He always keeps aligning us. It's kind of like this automatic tuning that's always going on, automatic adjusting. If we'll just let the Holy Spirit be at liberty in your life and just pay attention to where He, it's not that complicated. If you try a lot of self-examination, self-adjustment, trying to keep up with people, you'll find yourself very discontent, very frustrated, not heavenly good or earthly good. You'll just be, you know. But if you can trust the Holy Spirit, if after all, you didn't save yourself, you must remember this. It's just good to remember. Did you save yourself? Well, heck no. Did you actually go, oh, I need something, you know, without the Holy Spirit calling you or dealing with you, you're clueless. It's real easy, and we meet people that are convinced they're good. And you're not going to convince them that they're not until the Holy Spirit, He's the one that convicts. Without that, you're just frustrating yourself and everybody around you. So we need to rely. It's the Holy Spirit. We're not persuaders. We're not salesmen for the kingdom. We are ambassadors. We represent the King. We come on His behalf. There's a ministry we're called to. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry that the Father is in towards us. That is the ministry. And just allowing the Holy Spirit, we're continually in need of adjustment and correction and bringing us back. But He will do that if you'll just trust Him to do that. Just always be willing. So your job is to keep your heart soft. Beware of hardness. Beware of unbelief. Beware of things that will actually hinder that. But if you deal with your stuff, you humble yourself, and the Lord, He will come. He will. So there's some choices for us to make. And after making those choices, the Holy Spirit will bring us back. And recently I had this refocus about the ministry of reconciliation. And I looked up this verse, like it came to me. And you realize this is the thing I want to engage in this. I want to re-engage in this. It's so easy to get our focus on everything else and trying to make enough money and trying to get out of this problem and that problem and trying to feel better about yourself and all the things that we get all focused on. And I went, wow, here's the deal. Like, here's the thing. I just was so aware. This is the adventure. This is the adventure I want to be on, is to participate, to walk with my Father in this ministry, because He's doing it. And there's no greater joy for a little boy than come and work with Daddy. And I love being around our little ones, and some of them are better helpers or wannabe helpers than others, but the best is when you're carrying something heavy and they're like, you know, they've got their hand on it. They're not helping, they're making it harder, but that's okay. Because you love what they're doing. And if they've got their hand on what you're doing, they believe they're helping. Right? That picture, keep that picture. That's your father. Sometimes in life and in the ministry, you're probably not helping at all. But that's okay, because your father's so big and he's got so much of a hand on it, he just loves it that you come and run up and go, here, let me help you with that church. You're part of the problem, but you don't need to know that right now. I'm called to the ministry. That means you're probably very pitiful and it'll take a long time before you help anything, but the Father loves you jumping in because that it's his ministry. It's his thing. It's what he's doing. And in all the other things here, imagine in my hand is the stuff of life. Your marriage is in there, your job, your occupation, your stuff, your problems, your things you want, things you don't want. You know, it's right there. Your children, you know, the stuff you have. You all have this. Multiple things. If you can look at that stuff and realize that the unique stuff that's in your hand, that is the key to unlock your opportunity to participate in the ministry of reconciliation wherever the Father's working. Pay attention and don't be disgusted about what's in your hand. Realize that what's in your hand is the very thing that's going to open doors for you to get to practice with participate with the Father. It changes how you look at your life. Please, I invite you, join me with this. So let's look at this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. So, man, is that our culture or what? Boasting in appearance. What you got, how you look, how you're doing, you know, how many people there are, how many numbers. That's boasting in the appearance. So we know you can have a big something, whatever your thing is, you can have a big something, but it may not be what it looks like. It may burn. We know that day's coming when everything's going to be tested by fire. The fire will tell you what's lasting and what's not. The hay, the wood, the stubble, the fluff, that's... Whew. You ever gotten something too close to a fire that's like, whew, whoa, that went fast. It can't handle the fire. It can look real whatever, and then it gets close to the fire, and it can melt to nothing, and you're just, whoa, wow, whew, couldn't handle the fire. So we want things that are fire, and he says it's not about boasting in appearance. It's something more. If we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. I'm ready for deliverance. I don't want to live for myself. It sucks. It stinks. It's just not. I know it's promoted highly, but it's... You can get to the top of living for yourself, and it'll still be empty. It still doesn't get it. It still doesn't, still won't satisfy. What a shame that we spend our life trying to get to something that won't satisfy anyways. If only I had this, if I could get to that, if I could whatever. Get it straight right now. That won't give you what you're looking for. And Paul was talking about that specifically. We don't boast in ourselves. This isn't about how much ministry time we have. This isn't about how much we travel. This isn't about how many churches that are under our belt. This isn't about how much money we have. All of that is like can go blow away. It is about whether we love Christ, whether we're connected to him in the right things and in the right way. And that we're not living for ourselves, that we're connected to living for something greater than ourselves. We live for the one that rose again. Therefore, in verse 16, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Again, so big in our culture. And we need to get that out of the church, out of our thinking. Regarding people in the flesh, it's regarding people according to what they're driving, what house they live in, how many letters are behind their name. I have none. I have a letter. It's middle initial. That's about all the letters, you know, and half the alphabet in my last name. Like, I got lots of letters, but yeah, I got letters. And those are all things, and they can be points of honor. That's cool. That's great. We should honor people that have accomplishments. Give honor to whom honor's due. But it is empty if you're looking for life. And it's empty in accordance with eternity. You will not step into eternity, step into the presence of the Lord. All the letters at the end of your name will disappear. It'll just be you. And the question that will be asked of us is probably not what you're working so hard at. I don't know. You tell me, what are you working so hard at? Like, actually, what do you work hard at? What do you fuss about? What do you worry? What do you think you need to have? What is that thing? What are those things? We regard no one according to the flesh, because in heaven, no one's regarded according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, and this catches a lot of people. Even though we know Christ according to the flesh, we don't know him like that anymore. He's not the dude with sandals and a robe and long hair anymore. Like, you've got to get rid of that picture. Humble, riding on a donkey. That is no more. That will never be. No more donkeys for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're saying the Jesus, we knew him in the flesh, but that Jesus is, that was a one-time deal, one time on the planet, you know, came in the flesh, that he would be and walk among us, that will never be again. He's the glorified Christ now. When he shows up next time, woo, you know, fire. He'll be on the big horse. It'll be with glory. The humble, you know, that's gone. That's over. He did that. That we don't know him. We know the resurrected Christ. That's what we know. And we need to know each other according to the resurrected person. So that changes how we relate to each other, doesn't it? And how we look at ourselves. This is about getting free from yourself. I'm all about that. Let's get free. I hate being enslaved to myself. There's plenty of things to be enslaved to on this planet. I don't want to be enslaved to myself. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's what I'm talking about. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Was that the reality you woke up to this morning? You came into consciousness this morning at some point. All of you did. You're pretty much, you know, awake here. So at some moment you came into consciousness. Is that the reality you came into consciousness about yourself? Is that what you came awake to? Or did you awaken to the old man? Like, this is a very serious question, and I don't want the answer. I just want you to know the answer. And if you believe in Jesus, if you're in Christ, then the reality is that as you woke up this morning, this is the goal that we want to get to this, that we wake up to the new man, not to the old one. And today is a new day. It's a new start. Could we all just start over today? Can we? Let's start fresh today. His mercies are new every morning, so whoosh, clean slate. There you go. Teacher with a chalkboard, kind of dusty, but everything that was yesterday's lesson, yesterday's history, more like it, it's wiped clean. It's gone. So fresh start, clean start, new man in Christ, and every day you get to start fresh. Wow. I love this kingdom thing. New start, fresh start, new day. That's the reality. You're going to live in your reality or this reality? Choose. Choose. Choose every day. Which one are you going to live in? Because if you allow the old man to stay around, he will. Like a nasty old husband, he does need to leave. You died. The marriage is over. Get away from me. Don't come back no more. I'm married to Christ now. I had to die. I died with Christ. That's over. I'm in. He comes knocking at your door. Don't open. No, no, no. Oh, but honey, I know who you are. Oh, but honey, you don't know who I am. You don't know me anymore. That's dead. That me is dead. I'm new. I'm alive. I know this is simple, basic stuff, but man, I catch myself not living in it. That's why I'm making a big deal about it. It creeps back in. I'll sit in church, go, oh yeah, I'll preach it. Then I'm gonna, you know, like the old comes back. I have to choose. It's not even about fighting, it's just about no. No. The worst thing in your life is when you're not doing anything wrong, but you're still under condemnation because you're not perfect. Like, where do you go from there? Okay. I've cleaned myself up, but I'm still under condemnation. Oh my God, what? Where does it end? When will you ever perform good enough? If you're trying to perform better to get rid of that feeling, you're not going to make it. That's a secret. I'm telling you. You'll never get there. Go for it with all of your heart. You won't get there. That thing has to be put down by choice, and a choice that is made in faith that you are a new creation, that all things are new and that old things are passed away. That's the only way you can deal with that. You strive more, you work harder, you try to perfect your life, and you're whatever, going to fail miserably. The worst failures are when you don't know you're failing. Hey, I got this all, you know, under control. That's scary. You think you've got your life under control? That's like, dude, no. No, no, no. You need to be in Christ. That needs to be your meditation. Old things are passed away. Verse 18, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So there it is. You see the Father doing this through Christ. The Father, we go, Jesus loves me, the Father's mean. But we got to get good Father because it was his plan. He sent Jesus. Don't ever forget that. He's the one that made the choice to send Jesus. And so that Father is reconciling us back to himself through his Son, and that is the ministry he's in. And that's the ministry that's in play for every person on this planet, the ministry of reconciliation. And when you begin to see every man as the Father's heart to reconcile them to himself, it'll change how you look at the world. Even the worst of the worst, it'll change how you look at them. And then when you realize the excitement of being a part of that thing, you'll be able to step outside of yourself and stop living for yourself and realize that the stuff of life is just opportunity, the key for you to have access. If you don't have children, you don't have much to say with people that have problems with their children. You nada, you won't have anything. The key to having someone listen to you about raising children is that you had three of the worst ones. Oh, yeah. Now you talk different. See, before I had kids, I had all the answers. Child, I have kids, like many, multiple. Before you're married, you know how to do it. Then you go, oh. And overcoming in these areas and finding answers and through the grace of God, having these things that are the natural things of life. What is your occupation? Not, you know, you have access. Whatever you are, however you're wired, however you function, that is your, those are your access points to people I have no access to. Do you understand that? Now, I can sit here in the church or in the ministry and figure out all kinds of ways to reach the community. But I'm going to tell you, they're never going to be that great. I've had plenty of ideas. They never hardly get off the paper. They don't. And they're great. They're great things. And other guys do it and they seem to, you know, function well. But I don't know. But I know, I also know that when we are just being who God called and the Spirit's flowing in our life, wow, you've got access. And I'm constantly listening to you tell your stories about who you got to talk to and how you got to minister to somebody. And I'm like, whew, we would have never got that done in church. That wouldn't have happened in a meeting. They'd have never come through the door. But you went to them, and man, it was a great message. That was great stuff. That was amazing. How is that? Because what's in your hand, your life, your occupation, your thing, what life, your, that was the key to get where you're, and you're a part of the greatest satisfying thing on the planet, because this is what the Father's doing. He's reconciling people to himself through his son, Jesus, and it's like, do you want to join me? And the end of that verse is that this ministry, how is it worded? And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So that ministry that he does is given to you. And you don't have to have a great story. You don't have to be a great person. You have to have a great God. It's about who you're connected to, not about how you're performing. Matter of fact, the more of a hot mess you are, you probably have access. You'll just get more access to people that are also hot messes, because there's a lot of people out there that are still a hot mess. Some of them are sitting right here in the room, yeah. I mean, in all sincerity, on any given day, we're the hot mess. But when you get your eyes off of yourself, but that's okay. I crashed and burned this week, but it's okay. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm real, and I had some stumbles, and I had some feelings, God forbid, and whatever, I lost my temper and kicked the dog. But Jesus did not divorce me over that. We just had this conversation this morning again, didn't we, fellas? Like, and so, okay, you told me your day, you told me how your week's going, you told me how you're feeling. Do you think those are grounds for divorce? Do you think Jesus separated himself from you over that? If you do, you really got a problem. Honestly, you got a real problem. It's that you don't trust in the covenant relationship between you and Jesus, and that's the biggest problem you could ever have. You don't trust in how much he loves you. That's like believing your real husband or real wife divorces you because you broke a plate or spilled the milk. Oh, my God. I bounced a check. Okay, you're out of here. We're done. This marriage is dissolved. I'm calling the attorney today. That's ridiculous, but that's how we treat Jesus. So we get emotional, we fly off the handle, we make a mistake, we sin, we do whatever. We crash, we burn, we fail in something. It's over. It's like you don't know who you're married to then. You don't know who you're connected to. You just short-sold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the lover of your soul. And he was well aware of your pathetic life before he married you. That's the truth. Oh, Jesus, like, while you were still a hot mess, he loved you. And this is a war over what you will believe. And the enemy, he loves to whisper in your ear this stuff. He's the one saying, oh, you screwed up. It's over. You're done. You're worthless. You failed in this three times. Hopeless, you know. So we're fighting this. This is that warfare we've been talking about. And they are principalities, and they're powerful. So you don't want to underestimate the power of that thing that's coming against you. It's just how do you fight it? By being the ark and having the presence in you. That's how you, and you get the presence and get that ruminating inside of you, and Dagon will fall. The gods will fall on their face without you doing a thing. So let the presence of the Lord cause the false gods and the powers and the principalities to fall on their face. Verse 19. So we have this ministry is given to us, and I want to be on an adventure, and it helped me just step away. Nothing changed, but it just had to do with how I looked at my everyday life, and you get so much on your plate, like, oh, wow. Wow, I'm going to have to live longer because I'm never going to get all this stuff done, you know? That's not living a good life. That's just like getting so caught up in what needs done and what you have to accomplish and what needs fixed. And like, that's not life. That's not good. That's slavery. Our culture, our American culture is full of that. I don't want to live like that. I want to live in peace, and I want to be responsible for what I do, and I love good work, and I love the things, but I want to live to this higher calling that whatever I am, that the real deal is that this stuff just gives me access to the real stuff, and the real stuff is being a part of the reconciliation so that no matter where I am, no matter what, I get in. And as I've returned, it's just a simple thing, just a simple adjustment, but it's been big. And as I just started praying, Father, of all things, I just want to reconnect with the ministry of I want to join you in this thing, because this is the greatest joy to see people come reconnect with you and come back to you. And if I can be a part of that in any way, whether it happens over a moment or if it happens over 25 years, it doesn't matter length of time, just that I can be a part of that with you, partner with you, put my hand on the ladder and help you hold it as you're carrying me. You know, my little feet are not even touching the ground, but I'm helping Daddy, you know, I'm not helping Baba. It changes why I'm doing everything. What an energizing force. We want to be on an adventure, and that's the greatest. And you wake up and you do your stuff, but the great thing is being a part of this and getting access to people and things wherever they are. And this takes you to all the places. This will get you to all the nooks and crannies. This will get you into people's homes. This will get you into people's lives. This will just doing this and understanding that what is natural about my life, what is even mundane sometimes, gives me the access to something that gets very exciting. So I don't have to go on a great adventure to be on a great adventure. I just need to have a revelation that there's a ministry of reconciliation that I can partner up with Jesus in right now. Nothing has to change. It's just a matter of my mind, my focus changing, my awareness. I want partner, and my prayer's changing. This is the greatest. Lord, open. And man, things have been opening up. Like, it's so cool. I've found myself in places that I hardly had the faith to pray. Do you live like I do, where you think you see something good that needs to happen, but you feel like you've got to make it happen? That's kind of like not Christian. It's not kingdom. I don't know what you think that is. That's religious. If you think you have to make that happen. When you get a grasp of this, then the responsibility of that leaves and you just pray good prayers. It becomes between you and Jesus, and you ask him to help you, that you want to be on this adventure, and it changes the mundane into excitement, and he puts you right where, and now you can go to prison and you're like, this is great. Look at the crowd. I mean, in all seriousness, if you have this, then it doesn't matter what happens. You go, oh boy, a captive audience. They meant to ruin my life. And yeah, this is difficult and a little bit embarrassing. I got arrested, hopefully for not doing anything bad. Thrown in jail, and now I get to, some really good letters have been written from the prison Paul wrote a couple. Yeah, those were good. How bad, how tragic if he would have been overwrought with condemnation that he screwed up and got arrested for preaching the gospel. This is where we go, so I know I'm talking to the right people, right? Stuff goes bad, and now you're overwhelmed. You're living your life, and things go bad, and now you're overwhelmed with, I screwed up. If Paul would have done that, and he could have done that, I mean, he persecuted the church. That was a major screw up. Oops. I was on the wrong side. Very passionate about it. And that was wrong. That was wrong, Jesus? Uh-huh. You're persecuting me. You? And then to get thrown in jail after you got it all figured out. Oh, what did I do? I shouldn't have done that. I should have known not to go to that city, you know. And we get all wrapped up in the failure of it instead of realizing access. I just got in the factory. I just got in where there's a need. I just got in on the inside where no one could get in before. I have access to this person that nobody can get to. They're not coming to church, but I just got access. Because something happened. It changes everything. It changes how you look at everything. And it's exciting. That is in verse 19 that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So contained in that is we're not here to punish people. That's a great relief. It is not your job to punish people. Well, that relieves some stress. I don't even know how to... Well, geez. If I don't have to punish people that are doing bad, then, huh. Oh, well, this isn't that hard. I don't have to punish unbelievers because Jesus isn't worried about punishing them. He's trying to win them. He's trying to steal them out of the kingdom of hell. So I win. It's really important to get that deep inside that he's not trying to punish people. He's trying to reconcile them, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So in me is a word of reconciliation, a living word of reconciliation. In you is that living word. It's like a hidden weapon that you have. Get it out of the holster, man. Pull it out. Pull the sword out of the sheath. Whoa, where'd this come from, you know? Like, it's a powerful thing. And it's a great ministry. It feels so good to be a part of this. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, no matter where you are, ambassadors. It's a great calling. He pays your bills. He takes care of you. Because you're working for him. An ambassador for our country is not under the stress of providing for themselves. They are taken care of, aren't they? Because they represent something greater than themselves. You're my ambassador, and I send you, and I'm gonna pay for your travel. I'm gonna pay for your lodging. I'm gonna pray for where you. I'm gonna take care of you. And even if you get persecuted as my ambassador and other, you have a great reward. It'll compensate for that. Don't worry about it. In that extreme case. Again, this is about getting delivered from self-centeredness and living for yourself. And you get engaged in this and everything changes. It's probably the greatest bewitchment and... We talk about demon possession and et cetera in other third world countries and whatever, and we have that here some too, but this is worse than that. It's being possessed by greed and self-centeredness. And if you don't get free from that, it just antagonizes your life. Christine DeMarco released a new album, like the first three songs are available now. So, and one of them, one of the titles is "I Ain't No Victim." That'll preach. Like, that's a good word. That's really powerful. Need to get rid of, you know, deliver from that thing, that entitlement thing. It is through our culture so badly. It's every place. I want to be part of the answer, not part of the problem. I ain't no victim. We implore you, and continuing in verse 20, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is our message. Be reconnected. The enemy's great game plan is to disconnect you and separate you. And the Father's great game plan, his strategy for the world, this is a coverall. Like, this is it. It doesn't get a lot deeper than this, I don't think, is to reconcile the world to himself. He's trying to reconcile it, and the enemy's trying to separate, unreconcile it from him. I love simple. This makes it all simple. Verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There, settled. Putting on the armor, breastplate of righteousness. Your righteousness? No. The armor is out here and you put it on. So what are you putting on? Yours? No, his. His righteousness, his helmet of salvation, his shield of faith. It's his. Take up the armor, that armor that's hanging on the wall, and get yourself covered up with it. Because this isn't about you. This is about putting that on, clothing yourself in Christ. Now you're ready. Don't leave home without it. End of chapter. That's good. Can I invite you to make this small adjustment? Nothing has to change. You don't have to sell off your kids. You don't have to get a divorce. You don't have to leave your church. Nothing has to change. Stay right where you are, and everything changes because you realize, oh, all this stuff, some of it's tough, but it all gives me access to be able to partner with a Father in the places that he wants to get to. At the end of the book, Hinds Feet on High Places, I've read it several times through my life. And Kevin, I found out Kevin was listening to a audio book of it. And I'm like, huh, I got to do that. Like another season, like I got to listen to that. So I got it. And I was listening to it. And wow, every time I listen to it, at every season of your life is like reading a book for the first time. And it's that powerful. I just really encourage you. Hinds Feet on High Places by Hannah Herd. And it was written a long time ago. She got these revelations from going to the Swiss Alps and the mountains and the streams and the whatever. And she tells her story about how she got these revelations. 6 years later, she goes back and writes this book that has become like phenomenally popular and ministers to people. And I'm reading this. And after she goes on this journey with a shepherd to deal with her crippled feet and her twisted mouth and all of these things, and goes to the healing pools and gets transformed, and now she has Hinds feet, which is what he promised her. I believe it's Psalms 18. I'll give you Hinds feet to take you on my high places. And she gets up there, this allegory, it's an allegory. She gets to those high places. It's not about just leaping from hill. Now she can leap. Now she can jump from rock and rock like the hind, which is like a deer. Now she can do that, but that's not the end. And one day, after getting to this, through this journey, she looks down at this beautiful valley and realizes, oh my gosh, that's where I came from. That's my town. That's my city. Those are my people. Those are the people. There's the fearing family. There's what I came out of. And now that she's not afraid anymore, her name was Much Afraid. Now her name is Grace and Glory. Now that she's not fearing anymore, now that she's not afraid of that anymore, she has this genuine compassion for the very people that tormented her. And they did torment her. They abused her. They kept her small. There was every reason to hate them. But now this genuine compassion, she begins to talk to the shepherd about getting back to them. And he lets her know, I've been trying. They've been rejecting me. And she says, let me go. I will engage in this ministry of reconciliation because I have a story now to tell to get them connected with you, because they don't realize what they don't have. They're so consumed with their stuff, they don't realize what they're rejecting. I will commit myself to help get them connected to you. That's the end of this. And so in her grace, it's not about just leaping from mountain to mountain, as great as that is, but now to join him in this ministry and really partner with him to reconcile people back to him. Wow. And her life, this is good. And she has a whole different concept. Now it's not bondage. Now this is the greatest adventure of all. Even greater than going to the high places. Now it's the water song. And the song that the water makes as it falls crashes down, always going lower, lower, lower. You can't go lower if you don't get high first. Lower, self-sacrifice by itself has no value. Punishing yourself, carrying a cross around the world, that does not accomplish anything. It doesn't help anything. But after you've been to the high places and then you have this revelation, there is this song that comes out of your life because you're crashing down and you're giving. You're finally able in the right way, out of the right thing, to just throw yourself out over the rocks and rocks and the beautiful sound. Is there anything more beautiful than water that's falling? And it falls, goes lower and lower and lower. In joy, true joy. Let's pray. Father, I know you're inviting us into this. I know you're inviting every person right where they are with their handful of stuff that's in their life. Father, I ask that stuff, children and husbands and wives and occupations and burdens, all the stuff in our hand, that it all transforms into a beautiful set of keys, access into people's lives that you've been trying to get to. And we want to partner with you because it's the greatest joy in life. This is even better than playing with our own toys, to partner with you in what you're doing, your primary function on this planet, to reconcile people to yourself. I want to be a part of that. I don't need to go anywhere to begin to be a part of it. Right here, right now, everything changes as these things transform into keys, into the access points. So, Father, for every person that has a yes in their heart about this, this is the deliverance from self-centeredness. This is the deliverance from the things that just make us so depressed. Like, this is really changes things. Is the beginning of the prayer, praying the prayer, use me. I want to function with you in this ministry. Send me back to that place, back to the fearing family, back even to the very people that have abused me, back to the people that have ridiculed me, back to the people that don't like me. But because now I go as someone that's healed, someone that's one in Christ, someone that has you inside, someone that's a new creation. My crippled feet are healed. My twisted mouth is healed. I'm able to leap on the high places now. Let me jump back and participate in this ministry with joy. I just ask you, grant every person, Father, that opportunity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We cast off our resentment of life, of things that have happened, things that we're in, the dread that we may have, maybe going back to work on Tuesday morning, maybe going back to the mundane. I just ask that you will supernaturally change how we look at everything without anything actually changing, but just our insight, our perception. So, Father, renew us today. Engage us in this ministry. in this thing that you are doing through your son, Jesus. I want to help. You give this to us. You hand this. You offer this out because it's the greatest thing to be a part of. Nothing beats building. Nothing beats reconciling. Nothing beats saving. Being a part of that thing. So, Father, what you've given in our hands, we embrace that. And ask for real grace on it. Ask for real grace on it in Jesus' name. Is there anything else that we should minister to today? Call out anybody perceiving anything. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. The Lord is good. Amen. I ask for supernatural help for all of you in the areas that you, things that you're going through. Lord, just help us. Help us. Help us with our infirmities in our body. I ask that you help us with relationship things. Just entrust that to you. Make us strong. Make us powerful. Heal our land. Heal us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.